Ngày thứ 28, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is Thursday class, 14 July 2022. But what I want to make some minor announcement is, last Thursday, we went through these notes, outline short notes for lesson 81 of the six patriarchs. Dhammajo Platform Sutta. So this sutta is the Six Patriarchs Platform Sutta, or they call it Liu Zhu Tan Jing in Mandarin. So last Thursday I went to Pan. I don't find that I just summarize and skip through. We have not enough time. So I didn't explain 6 and 7. Maybe today I will explain 6 and 7. Then I will tie in with the whole cultivation so that you all can understand. Number 5, the Buddha actually summarized all of suffering in his first noble truth, final summary. He said, in short, it is due to our Sakkaya Ditthi, living beings' self-delusion, their condition, their grasping and clinging to this fine aggregate of all my mind that he called dukkha or suffering. So this is a very important summary, and I will try to develop the understanding again. Hopefully this time it can easily go in. So under number 5, I mentioned the 5 aggregates of form and mind are empty because they are impermanent. So understanding this is very important. So when you attach to the 5 aggregates, suffering arises, which means the grasping aggregate leads to suffering. Upadana khandas. That's why the arahants, their aggregates are different. They are non-grasping because of their wisdom. So like we all know, the 5 aggregates are Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana. All these 5 aggregates, they are non-grasping. The physical form or the mental form, when you have wisdom, you won't grasp, you won't cling. That's why it's non-grasping. That's why wisdom, panya, is very important. To cultivate is to develop the meditative mind or the silent mind to insight in the phenomena to awaken. You cannot use thought. Thought base cannot lead you to the awakening. Then the other aspect of cultivation that we need to understand is, before we develop the wisdom, we need to contemplate, reflect, develop the understanding, then put it into practice to cultivate. So the cultivation part I have summarized under number 6 and number 7. So that we do truly understand what these things are. Under number 6, I have drawn up the 4 circles, or what they call oval shape, to denote how living being actually came out from the source or our original nature, true nature or oneness nature. The first thing to arise is the pure awareness or the pure consciousness. That's how you can see the first circle is the source, which is our original nature, true nature or oneness nature. Then we have the pure awareness, the first to come up. That's why to meditate, you must realize this pure awareness, the awareness nature. Then how from this pure awareness nature you create the mundane thinking, the mundane consciousness and the mundane manifestation of thought. So the third circle or entity that arise after the pure awareness is the mundane mind. So when mundane mind arise, we are able to become conscious of the phenomenal world of consciousness. That's how creation become what it is now. And to understand this as a cultivation, under item 7, I have a triangle. The apex of the triangle is the pure consciousness or awareness. So this is the first to come out from that nature. But this one is the unconditioned. It has no thought, no thinking, no words, no concept. And it also is not a permanent, unchanging entity, not a being that you can call, this is me, this is I. Yeah, it cannot come out and live life. It's not an entity. So from there, we start. That's why you look at the triangle. The sloping towards the right is to develop mundane seeing, mundane living, mundane activity, because we have the senses down there. So the pure awareness is like the source of battery power to trigger our consciousness upon contact with sense spaces. That's how the mundane mind arises. Then through delusion, we cling onto the five aggregates of form and mind. So we have the phenomenal world of consciousness and form. That is mundane living. And if we silence our mundane mind, develop the awareness nature within our true mind, we can use it to meditate, to develop the direct seeing or the awakening. So that one is a slope towards the left, leading to wisdom. So when you insight into phenomena, you awaken, wisdom manifests. Then this wisdom is connected to our senses or five aggregates of form and mind. If you use the wisdom to live life, then you become the noble one that live the noble life or the life of enlightened being. That's how you need to develop the understanding. Then from there, you know the secret of life. You know how to live life. I will explain all this in further depth and detail later. Okay, so once again, a very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 14th July 2022, Thursday class. We are holding the Dhamma session at Bratio and Sister Pamasuri's house. So let us now compose the mind, develop the faith, sadhana, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja offering. Namo Bansu Sujiya Moni Po. Namo Bansu Sujiya Moni Po. Namo Bansu Sujiya Moni Po. Namo Quan Sri Pusa. Namo Quan Sri Pusa. Namo Quan Sri Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahaṃ sammā sambuddho bhagavā buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svahātō bhagavatā dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ nāmāmi. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स। नमो तस्स भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा सम्बुद्धस्स। नमो Buddham saranam gacchami, Dhammam saranam gacchami, Sangham saranam gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammam saranam gacchami, Dutiyampi Sangham saranam gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami, Tatiyampi Sangham saranam gacchami, Tatiyampi Sangham saranam gacchami. Panatipatavirmani Sikkhapadam Samadhiyami Adinadanavirmani Sikkhapadam Samadhiyami Kamesumichacharavirmani Sikkhapadam Samadhiyami Musavakavirmani Sikkhapadam Samadhiyami Surabhevayamachapavagatanam Viramani Sikkhapadam Samadhiyami. Okay, turn to page 3 of the chanting book. We shall continue with the Puja chanting. We will start off from the Pratipa Puja. Pratipa Puja, the offerings of light. Gana sarva dithena dipena tamadam sina Dandasambharayatena Dupenahamsukankhina Pujaye Pujaniyampam Pujabhajanamuttamam Vannagandagunopetam Pujayami Munindasa Siripadasarorohe Pujemi Bhutankasumenanena Punenamatena Chahotumokam Kayo tathāyati vināsabhāvaṁ Ādivāse thunobhante Pāṇiyaṁ parikāpitaṁ Ānukampaṁ Pāle paripāpitāṁ Ānukampaṁ upādāya Pātigāṁ hātu mottamāṁ Okay, now we shall make the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance to aim. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dhanaparami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with faithfulness to attain the path and fortune as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond of free Nibbana. Making of overall inspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sadhana, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until we become balanced of powers. Finally, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yes, be respect to Pajam. Vatang Pajam. Dhammang Pujami Sangham Pujami. Okay, y'all can be seated. Okay. Once again, a very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Okay, as usual, we will off the light so that you can have all half an hour awareness-based meditation development before we commence the Dhamma sharing. Hopefully by now, most of you would have understood what awareness-based meditation means. It means to help us develop the inner awareness, realize the true mind, so that we can make use of this awareness within to meditate, to develop understanding. Initially, it's just to follow the four support. Relax body and mind, first support. Then maintain awareness is the second support. Then the third support is maintain awareness for as long as you can. And finally, trust your nature to develop the meditation. No more interference from the thought process. No more allowing the brain, which are full of your accumulated views, opinion, conditioning, and memories. They cannot meditate. So when you allow your nature to meditate, means no thought, completely silent. The first hallmark of Huiming. Wu Nian, without thought, you are already in Sati, you are already aware. So don't try to be aware, don't do anything. Just relax, maintain awareness and silence everything. When you are relaxed, means body and mind completely relaxed, no more issue, no more thinking, no more problem, no more stress, no more this and that, which means we are really completely relaxed and at ease. Whatever arises, just relax into it. Then maintain awareness. The moment you are aware, the mind stabilizes. If thought arises, let it arise. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to know. Just maintain awareness. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. This is how you stabilize your awareness nature. Because if you don't relax and maintain awareness, you will be thinking. Man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are thinking, lost in thought, preoccupied with what your thought process is doing. If you are caught in that heedless thinking, manifestation of thought, proliferation of thought, then how can you be aware? You can't. To meditate is to be completely silent without thought, to be with the moment in awareness, with a clear, silent mind, to develop the understanding, to develop the awakening. That silent mind, when it stabilizes, it can insight in the phenomenon. It can awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. It can also observe silence. Through that silent observation, it develops understanding, wisdom. That's how you meditate. That's how you come to understand clearly what happened to the forming mind. Through that, you will develop understanding of who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. Why did the Buddha say, each and every living being, we have these five aggregates that define the forming mind? Then the two aspects of this five aggregates, you will also understand, you will also see it. Then from there, the meditation becomes easy. The true awareness-based meditation is to realize the awareness nature, which is beyond the form and mind, beyond the thinking. When you are without thought, that nature, which is the awareness nature, will surface. And your awareness of that will bring you home to your original state of silence, inner awareness, tranquility and stillness. When you are with the true mind, silent, without thought, there is clarity, there is awareness, there is tranquility, there is no mental movement or activity, is fully aware. That is the meditative mind. Okay, with this, I will set the alarm for 30 minutes. Then you can continue your awareness-based meditation. You can slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner awareness, inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, now we will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the king of sages, which gives heaven and release. Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. samanta shokavalesu atthagacchantu devata sattamam munirajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadam namo savanakalo ayam badanta dhammasavanakalo ayam badanta dhammasavanakalo ayam badanta Namo atas Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo atas Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo atas Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Iti beso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho. Vicca Charana Sampanno Sukhato Lokavido. Anuttaro Purisa Dhammasarthi. Satadeva manusanam buddho bhagavati swagato bhagavata namo sanyetiko akaliko ehipasiko oparaiko Pacatang veditato veno hiti Supatipanno bhagavato sāvakasangho Dujupatipanno bhagavato sāvakasangho Nyāyāpatipanno bhagavato sāvakasangho Sāmicchipatipanno bhagavato sāvakasangho Yadidam chatari purisayukkhane Atta purisapugala Esa bhagavato sāvakasangho Ahoneyo pahoneyo Dakkhineyo anjalikaraneyo Anuttaram puṇyam khetaṃ lokassati Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, you all can be seated. And like I explained at the beginning, before we start our class, the last Thursday's sharing was very good. We follow these short notes. The outline short notes for lesson 81 of the Six Paitriya Platform Sutta. So this is a very beautiful sharing. The whole of the important Dhamma understanding of the cultivation and the practice, they are all there. And all the important pointers. But like I explained, I actually spend a lot of time to explain the first few points, especially to develop the understanding of what is this mundane mind and how it comes about, how it arises, and what is the other mind, which is the true mind, which is also our silent mind, the meditative mind. Then how, when we develop the silent, we are using it to meditate. When you arise, the thought process, the thinking is for mundane living. That's why if you remember the notes that I wrote on the board, the thought, the mundane mind cannot meditate, because what we are trying to realize is the Dhamma, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So if your instrument, which is thought, is limited, how can it develop the understanding of the Dhamma, which is beyond thought, beyond time? So that is very obvious. Eh? Then the second point is use the silent mind to investigate and meditate. So this one we have gone through. This is what meditation is all about. When you are relaxed, maintain awareness. The awareness nature within is your silent mind. So that silent mind is your meditative mind. You have to use it to investigate the Dhamma. To investigate is to silent everything. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything with that clarity. Observe. Silently observe. And wait for condition to insight the phenomena, to awaken to the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. So all those we have control. Then also to use it to investigate into the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us, like Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23. Then the advice of the Buddha. Dhammapada verse 183. And also all the other essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. Then we move on to the three hallmarks of awakening, which we also control, where there is a very unique teaching. It takes us direct to our true mind, the silent mind, so that we don't have to go through the thought-based training, thought-based meditation and other things. The first hallmark is no thought. This no thought must be born of a free mind. Because it's a free mind, you can use it to meditate. This is awareness. This is deep. This is mindfulness. Then if you are able to develop the stability of it, you can become a Sotapan or a Sakadagami or even an Anagami and an Arahant when you use it to meditate. Then I also explain why without thought, you are already aware, it's deep. So don't try to be aware. Don't try to know and don't try to do anything. All this doing and knowing is by the thought. The silent mind, which is the meditative mind, is just aware. Cultivator must allow the mundane mind to naturally cease. We are not doing anything to develop the wisdom. Then you will realize the true mind. The mundane mind is the thinking mind, conditioned arising mind, which is dependent originating, following the paticca-samuppada. That's why the Buddha said the first dueling, dependent on ignorant mental activity arises, or avijja paccaya sankhara. So all this last Thursday I have already explained the dueling. You only need to maintain awareness. We are allowing the mundane mind to return to its original state of stillness before the stirring. And the second hallmark is no mark. If you want to cultivate the Bodhisattva way, you must realize this second hallmark of meaning. You will come to realize the three non-mark. First is the no-mark of a self-cultivating then there is no monk or others or living beings. Then there is no monk of Dhamma or nature or existence or Dhamma. Whatever that has monk is within the conditioned world. They are not the unconditioned. So Noma is a very powerful teaching. When you realize Noma, you cannot be deluded, you cannot be deceived. The ego cannot arise because you will come to realize the profound anatta characteristics. Anatta means empty nature or existence, not a permanent entity, a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling on to, grasp on to, and hold on to and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. So this understanding is very important. When you have mark, duality arise, all creation arise, views of opinion, conditioning, belief system, concept, ideology, all arise. Marks are things that your mundane mind dwell on, hold on, cling on. That's why the third hallmark of winning is no dwelling. This is also for those who intend on the Bodhisattva way, you have to realize this, the hallmark of non-dwelling. This one is very difficult to realize. You have to meditate until you connect to your true nature, until you transform internally, until that nature shines forth. Then the vibration, the pure energy within becomes so fine until the mundane mind collapses. When the mundane mind collapses, the true nature, the true mind, which is the supramundane nature, will shine forth. And that one will behave in a totally different way. That mind is just pure awareness nature, without the mundane mind to cloud it. When there is no mundane mind, there is clarity, then only the true mind shines forth. Then no need to develop mindfulness and awareness because your nature is the awareness nature. And the awareness nature cannot dwell where it's not a mundane mind. It has the wisdom and the understanding. It does not cling. It is always aware and mindful. Then there is this movement that is unique to the being who has developed this understanding and transformation. The mind is just aware, means it's either specific phenomenal awareness throughout the day or silent, spacious awareness without a center. That's why its nature is not there. That's why it's different. It's not what living being think. It's beyond thought, beyond mind. These three hallmarks of winning teaching are also part of the Diamond Sutra's cultivation. So the Diamond Sutra cultivation is very penetrating To really develop the understanding of it, you have to have these three hallmarks. That's why the famous stanza within the Diamond Sutra is, each year you wave on, Zhu Mong Huan Pao Yi, Zhu Lu Yi Lu Tian, Ying Zuo Lu Si Guan. So this stanza is very famous, very powerful, full of wisdom. Each year you wait for, the meaning is everything within the conditioned world is due to the conditioned Dhamma. They are dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena. And they are Zhu Mong Huan Pao Yin. Mong is dreamlike. Huan is illusion. Huan cell. Pao is bubble. Yingzi is shadow. So the phenomenal consciousness, the condition arising, existential or conditioned dhamma that manifests this phenomenal, it is not real, not what you think. For those enlightened beings, they will know it's like a dream, like an illusion. When you lack wisdom, you will be deceived, deluded. Then it happens so fast, like a bubble, pop, gone. Then finally, of course, it's like a shadow. You think it exists, you think it's real, but it's a shadow following you all around. Then the phenomenal is like what is described, dew light and like a lightning flash. So this description is very good. So this third stanza, third line, Lu is dew, like a morning dew, for a while is gone, no more. Then, like a lightning flash, Zu Lu Yi Lu Tian is gone. How real can it be? Come and go, flashes by, moment to moment, but passes by, that's the only reality. How real can life be, existence be? That's why the Dhamma Sutta, the Buddha said, you should contemplate it thus. That's why that stanza is very powerful. But when you have the awakening of the three hallmarks of awakening, that stanza become very meaningful, very, very beautiful. That's why the teachings are very beautiful. Then number four onward, like I explained, I actually explain it I didn't go into detail because I don't have the time that day. I spent too much on the beginning few important teachings. So tonight I will cover this 5, 6, and 7. Yeah? The rest I have covered. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 I have covered. And they already there, you go and listen, it should be sufficient. But 5, 6, and 7 is very important. Number 5 is mentioned, the 5 aggregates of form and mind are empty because they are impermanent. Then like I explained just now, the reason being, the Buddha said the 5 aggregates of form and mind are empty, impermanent, is because in the final summary, he summarized all of suffering, which is dukkha, as sakkāditti, that conditioned living beings to grasp at the 5 aggregate of form and mind. Because the aggregates due to self-delusion, sakkāditti, are grasping. That's why he called it the upadana khandhas. Upadana is grasping. Khandhas is aggregate. The upadana khandhas, condition, suffering. So that final summary leads us to the understanding that this is very important. I should develop this understanding. If I cannot develop this understanding, I cannot live life. I cannot continue with the cultivation. I cannot develop the understanding of what the Buddha is trying to teach us. So now I will go into detail of that number 5 teachings. See, the emphasis is on this five aggregates of form and mind. These five aggregates of form and mind is very important. Form and mind. Or in Pali, the Buddha called it Namarupa, Namarupa. You attach and cling and grasp onto this five aggregate of form and mind, you suffer. And people who do this are deluded. They have delusion, sakkaradhiti, self-delusion. So how are we going to develop this understanding? And why is make it longer? Okay. So that we can investigate into what the Buddha said to confirm that what he says is true. So this five aggregate of form and mind, if you are a cultivator, you are a meditator, you will come to know there are two aspects to it. Because unless I understand what this five aggregate of form and mind is, I cannot put it to test. I cannot investigate. But when I understand, then I can, with mindfulness, with awareness, I can investigate. So the first aspect, the Buddha said, this five aggregate of form and mind is what we are within the conditional. This is a karmically conditioned five aggregates of form and mind. So first aspect for our case is a human being. Or for others is the living being. So as a human being, we know we have a physical body and we have a consciousness trapped inside. So the human being, which is the physical, body. This is the form, or what the Buddha called rupa, aggregate. Then we have a consciousness trapped inside. So this consciousness which is trapped inside, the Buddha subdivide into four more aggregates. So this physical body, which is rupa, is the first aggregate. So this one is the first aggregate. Then this one is the second aggregate. So to understand the second, third, fourth, and fifth aggregate, we have to meditate to find out. We have to realize what this is, not just blindly accept what the Buddha said as knowledge. So how do we start? We need to inquire as a human being. Who are we? What are we? How do we know the world? How do we interact with the world? So when you start to inquire, you start to develop this understanding. What can my mind do? So this one is trauma idea. So the inquiry is, what can my mind do? So this inquiry is very important. Inquiry. In the teaching, the Buddha said, we have this ability to feel, isn't it? True or not? Your mind can feel. So feeling is Vedana. The Vedana is the Pali term. Then what else can your mind do? Your mind can? What else can your mind do apart from feeling? Perceive. Okay. So perception or perceive. In Pali is called Sanya. Very good. So it can perceive, like my voice, you can perceive it. What you see, you can perceive the external form, the external whatever color, shape, and form, or external appearances, physical things, you can perceive it. Smell, you can perceive what you smell, what you taste, what you can feel and think. So this is the power of mind, to perceive, to feel, is to. Then what else can your mind do? Every day you do it. You can create sankhara activity then. So this sankhara activity or the third aggregate of form and mind, actually, the English word, you have to use a lot of word to develop the understanding. Yeah. But you silence your mind away inside, all this understanding will arise. That's why you don't have to follow the text. What the text say is more of theoretical Dhamma knowledge from commentaries, from people who writes. But they try to stick to popularly accepted type of teachings. They dare not go out of it or deviate from it. And sometimes the funny thing is, the Buddha used this word sankhara. They choose the English word or translation that they like and they put it inside, especially the dwelling, Patijasamuppada, Avijjhapajjhasankhara, and most of them put their karmic formation as if sankhara is just that. No. So sankhara actually is everything that your mind can do is sankhara. So thinking is sankhara. So this one, normally they call it mental activity. Mental activity. Then what else? Mental intention. Mental formation. What else? Yeah. What else can your mind do? Yeah. It can arise mental states. Yeah. Mental states are all your mental emotions, good and bad. Yeah. Then what else? Your mental intention. Intention. Yeah? Then these are what the books actually writes. They try to define. Actually, all this you put together, it doesn't completely explain to you what sankhara is. Actually, sankhara is everything that your mind can do, including feeling and perception. This is called the content of consciousness. That's why these three. They become the content of consciousness or everything your mind can do. Apart from this, sankhara also means your planning, scheming, your mental proliferation, proliferation, mental proliferation. Yeah. Chattering and verbalization,
Brother Teo,
etc. Yeah, yes.
some translation they put sankhara as choices.
Who
I can't remember the translator's name. Some they put choices.
Oh, okay. You see. It depends on your understanding. The sankhara activity, actually, they don't know how it functions inside them. You think they make choices, and there is a word called choice. Do you know what Jaya Krishnamurti teach? Wherever there is choice, there is confusion. You understand that one, Amy?
Yeah. when I see the translation as choices, then the confusion comes in because there are choices, too much choice.
Very good. Very good.
Confusion.
The question is, like the Buddha said, why must you choose? Who choose? The thought choose. Due to delusion, you have to make a choice. For me or not for me. Why? Because they are caught in duality, in their views, opinion, and conditioning. Whatever created by thought will lead to confusion before you have the wisdom and the enlightenment awakening. So they create all these words without understanding. Like here, thinking, they thought there is a thinker behind the thought. Who think? What think? Nobody think. Thought is respond to memory because we have a brain. The baby, when they are born, when their brain is empty or without much accumulated conditioning or belief system or memories, there is no thought. The baby got no thought. The baby is very naive, very cute, very innocent. Oh, just like that. Not cunning, nothing. In fact, cunningness is also part of it. Your mental activity covers all the thinking and all the things. Even your choice, you can put under here. But that is for deluded human being. When you are deluded, you make choice. When you are deluded, you're daydreaming, planning, scheming. You can put daydreaming and all the things. That's why I put etc. When you hallucinate, you daydream, and you become unconscious or subconscious when you are drunk, your consciousness becomes very funny. And the content of consciousness that one went in is deluded. That's why all this appear. Okay? Can follow, huh? Okay, then I move on. Huh? Otherwise, we cannot finish again. Okay, number five. The fourth aggregate of mind, what else can your mind do? It can become conscious of things, isn't it? That's why the last one is jnana, or consciousness. As a human, we can become conscious. Conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we tactile, we feel and think. So consciousness is one of the ability of the mind. That's why the Buddha subdivide them into these four more aggregates. So this four plus one become five. Okay? So this five aggregate, the Buddha said, is who you are, what you are. So this one, the whole thing is the human being, which is the first aspect. Okay? So human being, the first aspect. Second aspect is what? This one, the Buddha is more interested in the second aspect. Second aspect is actually the mind, the thought. So this second aspect, as we know, inside the consciousness, we know there are four aggregates of feeling, perception, sankhara and vijnana, or vedana, sanya, sankhara and vijnana. So this whole thing, the second aspect, is the thought. And what is thought? Thought goes to the pure consciousness plus its content plus is content. So this consciousness, which is vijnana, the pure consciousness, that's why the Buddha said in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness initially, no one to see. So this is the third link. Paticca Samuppada, or the dependent orientation, say the first two link is avijja paccaya sankhara. And what is sankhara? Mental activity, mental thinking, and all these things. Because the first link is ignorant. Avijja. Because you don't understand ignorant of the truth, the four noble truth, especially the three right view. When you don't have the understanding of what you do, you go and think. That's why this Sankara is thinking activity, mental activity. When you think, you go to the brain. You recall to memory and all this. So what happens is at the brain, like a physics experiment, you make contact. A physics experiment. So this one is the switch. You make contact. What happens? Upon contact, the light bulb lights up. So this lighting up is like you become conscious. So when it is at the brain, you become conscious of what? Conscious of thought activity. Understand? That's why this third link is before the content go in. Once the content go in, it become a thought. Before the content go in is the pure vijnana, consciousness or vijnana. When it is the vijnana, means like the Buddha say, in the seeing, there is only that consciousness, the seeing consciousness. In the hearing, is only the hearing consciousness. No one to see, no one to hear. It's that thing, natural law, just like God, that mind develop the consciousness. That's why when he taught those monks, the pure seeing, the direct seeing, he is referring to this vijnana, the pure consciousness. This is the direct seeing, the silent mind. Awareness before the knowing. So this one, before the content go in, that's why there is no knowing, no perception, nothing, no views, no opinion, no condition, conditioning. The moment you input the content, that's why the fourth link starts. Avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana is this pure vijnana or pure consciousness. Then you input the content of consciousness, this one becomes namarupa. Five mental ingredients of problem mind. This is how it happened, not over the three period of time. Okay? So these five mental aggregates of form and mind, you have to ask yourself, the mind has only four aggregates. How did the form enter the mind? It enters the mind through the aggregate of sanya, or perception. Take for example, put to test. When you hear my voice, how did my sense data or this vibration enters your mind? Through your hearing consciousness, yeah, the content went in. Yeah. So that's how it happened. Perception brings the external form into your mind. Easier example is the Kuan Yin image or the Buddha Rupang up there. How do you know this external form? You perceive it, yeah, 2-1, sanya aggregate. When you perceive it, you recall to memory, then it arises within the mind. Understand? This is called mental form. So this form under the second aspect is the mental form. Here I put two aspects. Huh? This one is physical form, okay, first aspect. The second aspect is the mental form. Mental form, where do I write it? So here, form equals mental form. So this one goes in. So the form is mental form. So this one goes in via the sanya aggregate, perception. Okay? So this second aspect, the form is mental form. It enters your mind through every moment of consciousness via the sanya aggregate. So the mental form plus the four aggregate of mind become the five aggregate of form and mind. And this is what the Buddha is interested in. That's why the dwelling can easily be explained like that Thursday class sharing. Avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana is a pure consciousness. Yeah, you make contact with the brain like a physics experiment. You become conscious of it. It lights up. Upon lighting up, through your views, opinion, and conditioning, your brain, you input the content. That's why like and dislike, pleasant, unpleasant, wholesome, unwholesome. Yeah, you are not enlightened yet. You don't have yoni soul manaska. That's why you act according to memory, which is not acting at all. But you got no choice. Before you have the teaching, the Dhamma, the understanding, you will act according to memory. In fact, a lot of cultivators, even so-called monks or whatever, they also, most of the time, acting according to memory. But they memorize the sutta. They memorize a lot of things. They commit to memory. Then, as you all know, science is so advanced. If somebody has accident, brain damage, the memory gone, their personality, their character, everything also gone. Sometimes they forgot who they are, their entity also erased. So, in fact, before you are enlightened, before you understand all this, you are just a bundle of memories with its conditioning, belief system, views, opinion, and everything that memory carries. You become what it is. That's why you can actually become different when you straighten your view, develop new understanding. Then that conditioning breaks down. Meditation is to see this, understand all this, and awaken, and break down all the wrong view, wrong understanding, and straighten your view so that you have this right view, right understanding to awaken. We call that Yoniso Manasikara, wisdom, born of contemplative wisdom and the direct seeing, the second turning and third turning wisdom, including the first turning if you have your past. So Sutamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and finally Bhavanamaya Panya. These are the wisdom that can arise. Okay, so this five aggregate or form, am I clear? Huh? Now we put the test. If I attach to this first aspect, the physical body, do I suffer? It's obvious, isn't it? The Buddha say the five daily contemplation, reflect, contemplate, and don't be deluded by it. Because this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die. 4 years not gone beyond, always sickness and death. Why? Because these are elements, goes the way of nature. Non-self, not you, not a permanent unchanging entity that you say, this is me, this is I, self. If it's self, then you can control, you can have control, you can tell it not to grow old, not to get sick, and not to die. But it won't listen to you. It ages without listening to you. It gets sick without listening to you. Everything is following nature's law, goes the way of nature, dependent, originating. So when you understand this, you are not deceived, not deluded. Otherwise, if you attach and think this body, physical body, is you, you will worry about it getting old, getting sick and dying. That's why a lot of people can become very, very severely tormented when they age, when they develop injury, disease, sickness. They suffer. Then finally, the fear of death, the most traumatic, death of a loved one, fear of succumbing to the disease or the sickness. Then all of the mental and physical suffering that follow this first aspect, five aggregate of four memory, is obvious. When we deludedly attach to feeling, we believe feeling is permanent. Feeling is what we are. But we did not come to this understanding that feeling come and go. When feeling come and go, you didn't die. So how can feeling be you? And when you attach to feeling, you have problem. When you develop painful feeling, uncomfortable feeling, miserable feeling, like your sorrow, lamentation, jealousy, envy, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety. What happened when they arise? Because you think this is you. You want to push it away. That's why you suffer. Because why? You cling on to feeling. You grasp on to feeling. Feeling is actually pure feeling. You don't need to create a craving to make you miserable. But when you attach, you become craving. What do you crave? Crave for good feeling. When the feeling is not good or unpleasant, you become miserable, unhappy, you suffer. You want to push it away. That's like craving for existence. Craving to be and not to be. The three types of craving. Sensual craving, kama tanha, bhava tanha, and vibhava tanha. So any of these three you crave, you suffer. Then perception to everything you come to perceive, if you attach and cling, like the beautiful form, the beautiful wives or husband or whatever, or handsome, or things that you hold on to dearly. That's why the fourth daily contemplation is whatever you believe you own or you possess, like your loved one, your prized possession, your wife, or your wealth, your property. Things that you hold on to dearly, like your reputation, your title, and all those things, even your beautiful house, or anything that you believe you own. Because the reality is separation will happen. When conditions cease to be, they will cease from you. Or when you press stop, you don't own anything. So if you attach and cling and believe you own, you suffer when you lose them. When conditions cease to be, like the first number two reality, separation can happen. Separation from loved one, price possession, from whatever you hold on to dearly, cling on to dearly. So these are reality. So Sankara is the same. You cling on to your ideology, your thinking. So this one you can put in ideology, huh? Ideas. Ideas, ideology, etc. You suffer. You hold on to your belief system. You suffer. You create division. You create conflict, misunderstanding, argument. Consciousness of saying, when you become conscious of something, you attach, you want it repeated. But because it's dependent originating, condition no more is gone. Even beautiful painting, beautiful house, beautiful places. When pollution set in, when human activity become very aggressive, when war breaks in, it's gone. You attach, cling, and you want it repeated. It can't, no more, it's gone. So all these five aggregate, the moment you hold, you cling, you suffer. So this perception also we went through it. So the second aspect also same. When you cling to the thought, which are your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, and your mental activity and emotion, everything, you suffer. So the Buddha's final summary is so clear, so beautiful. When you understand, you wake up. You awaken. To realize this, listening to theory alone is not enough. It will help give you some intellectual understanding, like learning the teaching, pariyatti. But it is not penetrative. It is knowledge level. Unless you have your path. Upon hearing, you awaken. But very few. Maybe this asana still have. Yeah. Like when I come, my nature, when I hear truth, I awaken. I don't need that person to teach me or tell me anything. I hear truth, I awaken. Unless you have that. Otherwise, you have to reflect, contemplate, second turning, inquire. Then silence your mind to develop the awareness-based meditation, to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the third turning, which is very penetrating. So when it comes to understanding all this, we don't commit to memory. Oh, this is what Buddha said. This is what Brother Theo explained. Oh, commit to memory. No use. Why did I advise you that? Because I went to myself. I know I don't need to remember anything. I can teach them that. Why? Because this thing is inside my nature. When I realize it, I aware of it. I investigated all this. Nobody taught me. This is not in the teaching. The words are in the teaching. But what I have explained are not in the teaching. So what you have to do is, you check. As a human being, first aspect, who am I? What am I? I have a physical body, I cannot deny. Okay? So this one, feel it, that awareness, aware, feel it, then you will know. This is not a concept, not an idea, not somebody tell you. Where you feel it, you have a body. And this body can do certain things, which you also know, because you're aware, you're mindful of what it is capable of doing. Then there is a consciousness trap inside. You can check, aware, whether there is a mundane mind. Consciousness that is responsible for the arising of thinking, mundane thinking, the emotion, all this described under the content of consciousness. Is it true? You silence your mind when feeling arise, feel it without the words, understand not? Then aware and find out when the craving come in, your light and dislike. How does it arise? From where? Behind the arising. What is the one? We always use theory, your wrong view, your sakayadity, your self-delusion, all the things. If you just study as knowledge and commit, you cannot remember. You cannot understand. But when you feel it, you really feel it. Then that feeling, or no need to use word. You can describe it yourself. If people use the wrong word, you also know. If they don't understand, they use word without understanding. But because you saw it happening, that's why I dare to tell you, it's everything your mind can do, sankhara, including feeling and perception. And this one is like the receptacle, the vijnana, the pure consciousness. That is when our mind, which is the true mind, the silent mind, you know what that mind is or not? Spacious awareness. It's just aware. The awareness nature is just aware, nothing. So your mind is actually the oneness, spacious awareness. But you do not know. You every time use the thought. So how does thought come to be? Ask yourself. When you perceive something, thought arises. How did it happen? That's why in the awareness, when I silent, I saw how my eye zooming the perception. Yeah, I want to know. So the awareness create the perception. And the perception with the views, opinion, and the conditioning from the brain, belief system, all input the content. So this is how you create thought. So this thought becomes limited. Why? Because from spacious awareness, you shrink it. Spacious awareness, you shrink it into a thought. That's why thought is limited. Thought is limited. Why? Because from spacious awareness, you shrink it. How to spell shrink? R-I-N-K. You shrink it to become a thought. That's why thought become limited, because your whole focus is at that rupa. Understand? Like hearing consciousness, your whole focus is my vibration here. That's why from spacious awareness, you lost your nature and trapped in the thought. That's why this is limited. That's why thought, the instrument is limited. It cannot realize the truth that the spacious awareness saw, insight into, awakened to. Now you understand, we are thought has all this rubbish. When you carry all this, In fact, here the mental states include your fear, phobia, etc. How to put it? Fear, phobia, insecurity, etc. They are all part of mental states. Understand? All of our fear, phobia, insecurity, even scars of memory, they are all sankhara. So this one, come now here. So these mental states cover all this. Now you understand. I hope by now more and more people can understand this. Okay? So if you understand this, then you will understand the first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. Remember, silence your mind aware to develop all this understanding, to be aware of all this. Aware of the physical, aware of mental form, aware of feeling, aware of perception. How perception arises. Not through idea or concept people tell you. No point. Find out yourself when you are in the awareness. When you're completely silent without thought, how you perceive. That's at the moment of sense experience, when the perception happens. To do that, you must have daily mindfulness very stable. Unless you have that, you cannot see. That's why when I went through the cultivation, my daily mindfulness was so stable, so sharp. I can be at the moment of feeling. It cannot move to craving. Moment of thought process. Sankara activity. That's why I saw the movement, I saw the link. Then I can be even at the moment I perceive something, the mundane mind, perceive through memory. That's why I can explain all this to you, and I don't have to remember. Then when I become conscious of seeing, that pure seeing, the pure consciousness before the content, when it, my mind can be there, the awareness can be there. That's why it's very different. If you don't cultivate that way, the understanding cannot go in. Okay, so this is the most important first aspect. What is the time now? Oh, almost done. Okay, I think these two, I briefly explain first. The next Thursday, I will give you the full detail of the teaching. And so, can you produce this on the one? Do you have this? Yeah. Ah, good. The four circle, the four oblong circle. Yeah. So if you look at point number six, yeah. So now we know the source is our original nature, true nature, our oneness nature, or we call it by different name, by different religious people. That one is like the singularity, the source. From there, everything arises, like the beginning. That's why the Buddha said, inconceivable is the first thought of ignorance, that condition, delusion, that brings about coming, downfall, and all this evolution. Unless you are Samasambuddha, you cannot trace back, it's too long. That's why he used the word inconceivable. It's the beginning of the first part of ignorance. From the empty space, it trivial. Some call it the primordial darkness. Original primordial, they use the word primordial darkness. In fact, in the Surangama Sutta, it's called primordial darkness. From there, everything starts. Yeah. So that nature, for the time being, forget about it first until you connect and develop the ability to be with it. Then you can never comprehend or understand it. But the first thing that come out, you have to understand. The first thing that come out from this original nature or true nature or the source is our pure awareness nature. That one that come out is just the awareness nature. That one is not a being. That one cannot live life, understand? It cannot come out. That's why it's not an entity. That's why that one also anatta, non-self, the unconditioned. So from the pure awareness, you start developing that got causes and condition for the form and mind to come. That's why you have karma, karmically conditional. Then the five aggregate of form and mind, the two aspects. Then from there, the senses created the mundane mind. Without senses, there is no mundane mind. Without senses, there is no coming. Without mental activity, sankhara, there is no coming. Then the mundane mind creates the phenomenal world of consciousness. That's how we lost ourselves, we come out. Then to meditate is to see all this, understand all this, and reverse all this to realize our pure awareness, the true mind. Then silence everything with the wisdom leading to cessation, which is Nibbana, to realize or have a glimpse of what that Nibbana is, the enlightening state is. And that one is just the beginning of the journey to realize that source, the true nature, the original nature. So all this, hopefully, you will understand when I explain it in the next session. You see, this phenomenal world of consciousness, how does it collapse? Before you awaken with the wisdom, before you insight into the phenomenal and realize all this, you will believe it's real. You will attach and cling. Because the phenomenal world of consciousness is created by our mundane mind, the thought process. That's why with that, you will cling, you will grasp. You will never believe it's not real. Even your form and mind. How can it be not you? Unless you meditate silent. Then you realize not only feeling come and go, you didn't die. Perception come and go, you also didn't die. Mental activity, mental emotion come and go, you also didn't die. Mental consciousness come and go, you also didn't die. Like anger, fear, hatred. Are they you? Because if they are you, if anger disappear or fade, or fear disappear, you should die within it. But how come you didn't die? You didn't die means what? All these, like the Buddha said, they are dependent originating, condition arising, cause of not, not you. Hence, empty, ananta, with the characteristics. You must be mindful, aware, to see all this. Unless you have the mindfulness, stability of it, to see all this, you can never understand the dwelling, the patichasamuppada, all this thing. These are not theory. These are dhamma, which can be realized by the voice, each for themselves. That's why it's pachetang. Okay? Then after that, when your phenomenal world of consciousness fails to deceive you, when external form fail to deceive you because you realize that they are all without marks. Understand? And you don't dwell, you don't cling. That's why they have no power over you. That's why it collapses in front of you. Then the mundane mind, you can silence everything and let it return to the true mind, the true nature. Then from there, you realize Nibbana. That's how all this can happen. Then how to do it is number seven, the triangle. So you look at C, the apex of the triangle, is the pure consciousness, the first one to come out, the awareness, nature. When that one come out, means we are born into the world like the baby. But initially, our parents don't know how to train us and educate us, because they don't know this teaching. So what they do? They teach you the normal mundane living, mundane seeing. Because they have the senses, then you teach them papa, mama, a apple, b ball. All this become what? Memory. Memory become conditioning, like and dislike, based on your culture, your tradition, what you prefer, and all those things. That's why the kid is being conditioned into all this. Then the triangle that slope towards the right, where the senses is, they create the mundane living. So this mundane living is where the five degrees of form and mind, the two aspects are. That's why you are trapped down there, living being constantly trapped down there. To free, you have to develop the meditative understanding. That's why you don't meditate with the mundane mind, the thought, thinking. You meditate with the pure awareness, following the direct seeing, the silent mind, over the other side of the triangle. You go to the Heart Sutta, you will see the more complete triangle words. So this direct seeing is your silent mind, your pure awareness, your stability of mindfulness. When you develop the cultivation of this direct seeing, pure awareness, we are the what they call first turning, second turning, and third turning wisdom. Of course, finally, you have to do the four foundation of mindfulness. Then it will give rise to wisdom, which is yoniso manasikara. This nature will have that wisdom because the form and mind connected to this nature use that nature to meditate and awaken. The nature that awakened don't need to remember anything. There is with the nature. The nature no need to remember anything. The moment it awakened to insight to, it understands, that's it. Whenever something arises, situation arises or something happens, it will understand. It will know how to act with the understanding. That's why it becomes wisdom. So wisdom connected to the senses, the five degrees of form and mind, give rise to enlightened, noble living. You can live the life of an enlightened being, Pariyati, the third phase of Dhamma. Okay? So this is just a summary. Yeah? Next Thursday, I will go through the whole thing again. Okay. So now we can go on to the second session, which is meditation, reporting, or question. Yeah? You can also ask me any question you want to regarding this topic, okay? Including those in the Zoom. How come so many in the Zoom? How many is it? 12, oh, plus here, 20 plus. If you all have any question, you can like maybe speak out with the mic. Very clear, we can hear you loud and clear, very good.
Within this MCO period, I do read quite a lot.
And, sadhu.
And I also listen to a lot of Dharma talks.
Uh-huh.
And but you present it in a different way.
Yes.
Yeah. And then so you use a lot on the mundane mind.
Yeah.
And then which you don't see in other talks.
Yeah, not in other
completely teaching. No, yeah.
Yeah, nobody understand all this.
Yeah. And then yeah, it's sort of very though I actually last week I came and then we were talking about the five aggregates.
Yeah.
And then so I went back and listened to the videos again.
Different but again, yeah.
Yours is very clear.
Yeah, very clear. Yeah. Very detailed.
Yes. I'm very happy I'm here today.
Sadio. Rejoice. Anything else?
Anything else?
Question or whatever. You want to make clear or whatever.
Yeah, I like to ask question.
Yeah.
Because lately I do listen to Dharma video. Yeah, I mean Dharma thoughts.
Yeah.
It's sort of I use it more of it as a samatha meditation.
Okay.
You know, so like at the beginning my mind can be very scattered.
Yeah.
And then after listening, it sort of become very
More composed, more calm.
And then, it helps me in my meditation. And so when the video stop, and then I sort of continue with my meditation. So is it all right?
All right, because it's a skillful way. Skillful means whatever that can train your mind to be peaceful, calm, and aware. The word is aware. Finally, maintain awareness. Maintain a free mind. Initially, you can go into the calm state. Absorption a bit or whatever, you know, my experience it, otherwise you can't understand. Then release it back to normal awareness and maintain awareness. The key thing is to realize your true mind, the silent mind, have stability of mindfulness. So you have to release it until you return to normal awareness, means it's a free mind. Free mind that is not in the conditioned state is not focusing, not concentrated. Because when you are in the state of concentration or focusing or absorption, These five mental hindrances, they are being suppressed. It cannot come out. That's why you will know whether you still have the mental hindrance or not. So the free mind is the one that will enable you to be mindful and aware to check. Then they will arise if they are still there, not rooted out yet. Or when you are in the midst of life, living, when you go through life, you will encounter the first noble truth reality and situation that can trigger off reaction of mind. You realize you can still have fear, worry, anxiety. And sometimes your mind can still be agitated, become restless. That means these are mental hindrances. They are not rooted out yet. So if you want to develop the real vipassana, which is the wisdom to free your mind, you have to come out of that conditioned mind, which is the absorption. I understand when you experience it, you feel calm, peaceful, composed. That's why the mind is not scattered, not heedlessly lost in thought and all those things. Because human beings' problem is like that. They realize if they have not trained their mind, their awareness, then this mind is always heedless, scattered, thinking along, chattering, verbalizing, daydreaming. They are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So everything also they're very capable and want to comment, want to come out with opinion, idea, views, opinion, conditioning, belief system. They like to argue. They like to, like, sometimes in the name of discussion, right and wrong. So all this will manifest. So what do? They were told to meditate. How to meditate? That's why they need method, technique, and instruction. And what are these? These are not meditating. These are skillful means to anchor the mind, to train the mind. That's why the method, the object of meditation, is for you to focus your mind. So the skillful means is like you listen to any chanting or Dhamma talk where you have that faith in the Dhamma talk. Then it develops the calm mind. The mind becomes composed and you can settle down. Then you continue to meditate from there. It's like you are in a very conducive environment. Your mind settled down already. Then you continue to relax and maintain awareness. Then you can meditate very well. But if you have understood all this, you don't have to use the method, technique, and skillful means, because finally you have to develop the awareness within, to develop the stability of mindfulness, to be aware, to realize the true mind, the meditative mind. If that is what you have understood and need, then why waste time? Straight away relax, maintain awareness, then you are already in that mind state. That's why the awareness-based meditation is to develop that. Like Hui Ning said, go to the first hallmark, no thought, direct. How? Relax, maintain aware. When you aware, you cannot think. Aware, finish. So it like reverse the habitual thinking, decondition the habitual thinking. Like last time I teach you the skillful mind, mind supreme method. Silent, feel, don't think, feel, relax. So now, after you have calmed yourself down, deconditioned your heedless thinking, then you can relax, maintain awareness. No need to even feel. Feeling is already the aggregate of mind. Before it really come out, it's still pure feeling. But most of the conditioning, very fast feeling become craving, like and dislike. So that's why people cannot stay at pure feeling. So what you need to do is relax and maintain awareness. Whatever awareness, when you aware of something like thinking, aware of that power, whatever within your five real mind, aware, finish. Finish means what? Don't go and think some more. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just let it cease. Then the next moment, aware, cease. Aware, cease. That's how you develop awareness. Then after a while, you realize the mundane mind loses its power to arise. Then this mundane mind settle down, slow down, then suddenly you will realize a space that is without thought. That is your true mind. Then you realize within there, there is no thinking, no movement, no activity at all. It's just a space. But there is something that is aware of that space, although you are not thinking. And that is your true mind, the silent mind. But the moment you try to know, gone. That thing is gone. Okay? So with that, hopefully, you can develop more clear understanding.
Yeah. Good evening, Brother Chiu and all Kayanistas. Yeah. I was meditating at the corner there when the Brother Chiu explained all this. This nature is really full of joy.
Oh,
last time when Brother Chiu talking about the two aspects of the five grades of home and mind, it was very much knowledge level. And need to remember. And for the past, during the MCO, like, gone through lots of things and begins to look inside. Like Brother always say, reverse the light and look inside. The more you look inside, it's like outside world is phenomenal world is not so much attraction to you anymore. So constantly you are looking into yourself, you are looking into the your feelings, your perceptions. So last time we can never understand what is all this all about. Yeah. So when your mind is quiet down, so you really look into yourself. You really understand how this what are these human beings function? Yeah.
How you function as a human being.
So just now when Brother Chiu explained all this, it's like, oh, I can link the Dharma.
Yeah. Now you can understand. It's like a revision to you.
Yeah. So
the other thing before you continue, I want to explain is what you share is very good. When you reverse the line, and develop the inner investigative understanding. Reversing the light means shutting out your external five senses and the brain, the sixth sense. You reverse within. Use your awareness to be aware of the movement from within. That's why you say less destruction. We are most of the time you are aware. Aware of what? Aware of tactile. Whatever contact, when it arise, what happened?
It's the real.
It's the battery, yeah. That is the real one. You got battery? Spare? Oh, never mind. Assuming you got battery? Oh, no, not battery. It's okay. So what happened is when you develop the inner awareness, you see the actual contact from within, not as a theory, not as a knowledge. Then you see how you function as a human being, how your mind stir, how it create the movement. All of the mental states that I mentioned up there, all these movements are inside there. That's why I can tell you, you and your fear, your phobia, your scars of memory, how you feel insecure. And the mind that craves for security is the thought. All this, you will see them from within. Unless you're silent, you cannot see, you cannot understand. So ability to be aware is to silence your mind, not to chase after external, but go within and maintain awareness to find out what is actually happening. As I like my wife mentioned the other time when the Tuesday class sharing, she said, finally, you will come to understand the Paticca Samuppada. When you understand the Paticca Samuppada, it means you know how you function as a human, how your mind moves. Then you will come to know who are you, what are you. That is the real understanding. Otherwise, you cannot know. And understanding this is understanding truth, the Dhamma, the reality that manifests from within. Not knowledge, not theory, not Dhamma that you have read and heard from people without investigation, without finding out yourself. That's why Dhamma investigation is very important. Sati is mindfulness. Without Sati, you cannot investigate Dhamma. That's why the seven factors of enlightenment are arranged in such manner. Sati, then only it can be possible for you to develop the Dhamma, investigate the Dhamma, Dhamma Vichaya. Then with Dhamma Vichaya, only the faith arises. Because when the Dhamma stand up to investigation, your faith arises. When your faith arises, it will drive you to cultivate. That's why the third factor of enlightenment is virya. That virya is the spiritual zeal or tenacity to drive you to cultivate. Then when virya is there, you will definitely develop the stability of sati, become heedful and mindful. That's why after that, you experience a lot of joy, pity, the fourth enlightenment factor. Then when pity arises, your mind settle down, become composed, calm and aware as a free mind. Then you stabilize it. It becomes the silent mind, capacity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind without thought. That is the fifth enlightenment factor. To realize that silent mind is the fifth enlightenment factor. That's why without that, you cannot awaken. Then when that one continues to develop and stabilize, it accumulates into samadhi. The samadhi is the mind that is collected and unwavering. Now this mind can see things as they are because at the moment of sense experience, it's collected, it's unwavering. It does not stir, it does not waver. Then very likely the initial wisdom is already there. So that one will come out and prompt you and make you understand. That's why you can continue to silence, to see things as they are. Then you will awaken. That's how wisdom comes to be. Then when you awaken, that wisdom makes the mind have the last factor of enlightenment, which is upekkha. That's why sati, first factor of enlightenment, dhamma vichaya, second, virya, third, then piti, fourth, pasti, fifth, samadhi, sixth. Finally, is upekkha, equanimity of mind. Because when you have the wisdom, the mind does not stir anymore. There is equanimity. So this is how you develop the training and the meditative understanding. And now you continue. Use the mind. Adeline, Sadhu, yeah.
Yeah, so now, finally, I understand no thoughts, no mind.
Mm.
So with that, just now Brother explained how this mental formation, this form and mind.
Mm.
So this is how we form the mark of ourselves,
yeah,
of others, and the whole thing. So the whole mess of suffering,
yeah,
arise all because of all this
yeah,
Paticca Samuppada. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when you grasp and cling to Sankhara, or the mind state, the mind's creation, that's how Upadana Khandas arise, which means you take the unreal as the real. The phenomenal world become real because you give meaning. You give attachment. You cling, you grasp. You create your own ideology, views, opinion, and conditioning and belief system. Then your tradition also influence you. Your culture, everything that you have been exposed to, your social media, your whatever, internet, all this things that you come to experience in the world, the media. The media can be very strong. It is conditioning. That's why now they have various style of media to actually, they call it one, especially the Western media. They have this one power to influence and create a lot of fake news. The fake news repeated many times become like no more fake news. So all this is the distortion of truth. Why? Because human beings like to use thought. Thought has this weakness. Thought is limited. Thought divine. Through one, through words, through concept, through ideology. The words, one word can create a lot of division, distortion, like race, nationality, then religion, ideology. Then even the system of government, democracy, social politics. Then you also have the socialists and all these things. So all these are the way thought through words, through concept, through ideology, create the division. And from the division comes the grasping, the clinging, the attachment. That's why you argue, you fight, you go to war, conflict, everything arises. Why? Yeah, you think everything exists. You exist, the world exists, your enemy exists, your loved one exists. That's why suffering becomes possible. Without attachment, craving, or clinging, all this collapse. But how not to cling, how not to grasp, how not to have that egoic thinking when you use thought? That's why you must silence your mind to insight in the phenomenon, to awaken to the three universal characteristics of impermanence. When you understand impermanent, you will not grasp, you will not bring. Otherwise, you want things your way, which is not nature's way. That's why suffering will be the characteristic, it will arise. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can grasp onto, hold onto, and cling onto and say, this is me, this is life. That's why it's empty, non-self, no mind. So all this can only be awakened to through the silent mind, not through the thought. That's why meditation must be from the awareness nature, from the silent mind, the meditative mind, not through the thought process. So hopefully with this, the understanding is there, it can be clearer. So thank you so much, Adeline, for adding on to the thing. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We also would like to thank Sister Ingby, Siuping and Alicia for nominating Siuping. So all these are beautiful when you can develop the understanding. Today's sharing is very useful. Listen to it. It will help you awaken, transform your understanding. It will prepare you to move into another level of understanding, leading to new way of cultivating the faith, cultivating the mindfulness, the stability of mindfulness, awareness, and your ability to recognize the importance of realizing that true mind, the silent mind, establishing stability of daily mindfulness. All this can arise when you listen again and again, because what has been shared are very, very beautiful, very important. You can develop the understanding and we can do it. It will be very, very beautiful. Yeah. So hopefully this message can be received and Kanyamita can go into it. Okay. So now you one more.
Can I just ask Brother Jill?
Can.
It's the pure awareness and its content. So without the contents, actually pure consciousness is spacious
direct seeing.
Okay.
Means at that time, like the physics experiment, you go and think. So that contact with the brain trigger off consciousness. So that consciousness is within the space of perception. That's why this is a pure seeing, the direct seeing. When you see that Kuan Yin before you perceive using the word, that is the pure consciousness, the seeing consciousness, like the baby. See, no color, no nothing, no impression of what the image is. But they will have the direct seeing, just like the baby, seeing things as they are. Understand now? So that is not spacious awareness. Where it become a thought, really shrink. But even as a thought, before the content go in, that one is still the direct seeing, the pure awareness. That's why it auto shrink, but it's still that pure awareness before you receive any content. But very fast, you cannot stop. The normal people cannot have the direct seeing. They cannot see things as they are. The moment they see, they perceive, they create the mental intention, everything going already. Sometimes paticca samuppada until they become that thing. Right? Not only craving, not only contact, condition, feeling, feeling conditioned into craving, craving into grasping, then they become that thing. Right? That's why the anger manifests, right? The hatred manifests, right? The fear, the insecurity, they manifest, or the phobia, they manifest already. Immediately you become that thing. Then sometimes even burn. Okay? Sadhu. Okay. Then we will do the sharing of merits for the closing puja. Aka sata cha bhumata devanaga mahiddhika punyang tang anamoditva chirang rakkantu lokasasana Hitta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatina hotu sukhita hantu nyatayo idang me nyatina hotu sukhita hantu nyatayo Idang me nyatina hotu sukhita hantu nyatayo. Deo asatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha. Vito bhavatu loko cha. Aja bhavatu dhammiko. Imena punyang kamena. Mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we shall end the whole Zoom session. Sadhu, and thank you so much for all who have participated.
And say sadhu three times to Bratio and Mrs. Teo for coming all the way to share this beautiful Dharma with us tonight. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu to Sister Sui for fetching Brother Teo and setting up all the recordings and the Zoom session. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu to each and every one of us for participating in this beautiful Dharma session. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And a little bit of housekeeping. All the items that is being offered at the altar is being offered to the Triple Gem, and every one of us, please enjoy it. Help to take to the table outside, and please help to divide, take back, share with our loved ones.
Sadhu to Brother James and Sister Palma Suri for creating, for hosting us here and allowing Brother James to share this beautiful Dharma with us.
Wow.